right, so the question this morning is, how do I find God's will in the questions of life? Thinking back on your life, you recognize, I'm sure, that the story of your life is really just a long string of decisions. It's just decisions that you've made over the past years, decades, small decisions, large decisions. They all string together. Looking back, I'm sure each one of us could share stories about a decision that you made at some time earlier in your life. It turned out to be a big deal. It was a big turning point, and your life went this direction rather than that direction. Thinking about it myself, a couple of those decisions didn't really seem like major decisions at the time, but it turned out they were. And it changed the direction, the course, the story of my life. So as the sheet says, the handout says there, finding God's will and doing it is the key to Christian success and happiness in life. Well, yes, that almost goes without saying, doesn't it? Finding God's will and doing it. That's what we want to do. But how do we find God's will is the question. We have a life decision to make. How do I find God's will? That's what I want to do. I want to find God's will. I'm thinking about a book that was published a while ago, Decision Making and the Will of God. Maybe 25 years ago? I'm not even sure. At the time, it was a big deal. People thought about this book, Decision Making and the Will of God. The authors of the book, there were two co-authors, and the essential point of the book, it's a long book. It's thorough. It's hundreds of pages long. But the essential point of the book was that you can find God's will in explicit statements of Scripture. When you're making a decision, if the Bible explicitly says do this or don't do that, then you can find God's will there. But outside of any explicit statements of Scripture, you're free to choose on your own. It's up to your preference. And I think maybe the intent, yes, can I help you? The intent of the authors of the book was to give some latitude, maybe some freedom. Like, don't be so restrictive to yourself. There's a lot of freedom in God's will. It's up to your preference. I personally feel like that's restrictive, because when I'm making a decision, I don't want it to be down to my guesses. I want to find God's will. The fact is, I want to know what God wants. I want to do what God wants, all right? You know, this book, I think, was meant to give us some sense of liberty. Hey, just whatever your preference is, just make some decisions, do what you want. But I don't really want to do what I want. I want to find out what God wants. And how do I do that? That's the question. So here we have on the notes some blanks. How do I find God's will? And let me just say this. It's not meant to be a mystery story. Sometimes God allows us to face trials and tests in our lives where the next steps seem a little vague and unclear, and we really have to trust Him, and that's where faith comes in. And yes, that's the case. But God's not trying, for any dedicated child of His, He's not trying to hide His will from you. He wants you to know His will. Well, how do we get to that position? Before we fill in any blanks, let me just throw the question out to you all. What would you say if somebody came to you and said, I've got a decision to make? What are some principles that I should think about regarding finding God's will? I'm asking you this because I think you'll find the answers you would just give spontaneously are going to be the points that we're going to put in the blanks. So nothing really complicated here. We just want to put it all down on paper where we can see it. So what would you say? Yes? Lots of responses here. One more time.
I'm sorry.
Pray together. Prayer. Okay, prayer. Yeah. Express your dependence on God, seek wisdom. He says, if we ask for wisdom, He will give it liberally. Yes, ma'am. What was your answer?
Mine is kind of like that answer, is that you would pray and then seek His word.
Okay, open the Bible. Yeah, there's 66 books full of, yeah, okay. And the Holy Spirit, adding the personal direction of the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Now, I think Abby's given a good answer there. If we were coming to the Lord in a position of, I don't know, maybe a questioning or a lack of dedication, it's going to be hard to get a clear answer. So surrender is an important point. Yeah, good. Anyone else? No. Okay, let's look at some of these scriptures, please. For these first few points, we do have some Bible verses. Can we find 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14? Yes, ma'am. Would you like to read that?
Sure.
Oh, please, go ahead.
But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Thank you very much. I think we're familiar with this verse. If you don't have a spiritually regenerated mind, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you're going to have a hard time getting connected with God and finding His wisdom. Could you also, Ms. Crowett, could you also look down to the last phrase in the chapter, the last phrase in verse 16, and read that for me, please?
But we have the mind of Christ.
Thank you. So that's the confidence we have. We're saved. We know the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. Now, who can connect with God's mind? We can, with the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Point number 1A is salvation. Salvation, the first prerequisite, you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord. You need to have a relationship with Him. If you're in a position this morning that you could not say, I am 100% certain that my sins are forgiven and that I have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ based on what the Bible says, if you don't have that confidence, you'll have a very difficult time finding God's will and making decisions. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And if in the question of your eternal salvation, you're trying to come to the Father based mostly on Jesus Christ, but a little bit on your own efforts and your own good works, you are not saved. You need to know God the Father through Jesus Christ alone and through dependence upon Him alone. And then the Bible says, you will know eternal life. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. So I'm just encouraging you today, if you find yourself in a decision-making process, you're thinking, I would like to know what God wants, but I'm not sure that I'm saved, today is the day to get that settled. Number B, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Can someone read that for me, please? All right, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 begins with the phrase, this is the will of God. So taking that verse as an example, here's what goes in the blank. Number B, knowledge. Knowledge of God's Word. There are plenty of statements in Scripture, like this one, that clearly tell us what God wants. And in this verse, it's just one example, abstain from fornication. That's what God wants. So, you know, the book is right. There are plenty of statements in the Bible that tell us explicitly, do this, don't do that. God likes this. God does not like that. It's full. The Bible's full of contents like that. There are laws. There are doctrines. There are examples and stories that illustrate what God wants and what God does not want. There are principles all throughout the Bible that can direct our steps. So we need to know the Bible. We need to be familiar. In order to guide our personal walk and our personal decisions, we need to be familiar with clear statements of Scripture. Knowledge of the Bible. Number C, 1C, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Somebody can read that or maybe even quote that for me, please. Yes, Jolene. All right, there again, thank you for reading statements about the will of God. Here's what God wants. But in the middle of that, we see the aspect of dedication. Number 1C, dedication or surrender. Abby had mentioned this a few minutes ago. And I have an opportunity frequently to work with younger people, college-age people, people who are at a time of life when they're making a lot of decisions that will affect their entire lives, you know, that period of time as a young adult. You make those decisions like whether or not you will marry. It goes without saying, doesn't it? That's a big decision that's going to affect a lot of people for the rest of your life. Whom you're going to marry. Will you go to school? Will you, you know, attend Bible college or not? Or which college will you go to? And I talk to people pretty frequently about those kind of decisions. And I found that surrender is a big issue. That sometimes God's will is vague to a person who doesn't really dedicate himself to doing whatever God wants. Someone who's not really able to honestly say, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it, whatever it may be. You know, if one of my children comes to me, My kids aren't quite old enough to have this maturity to think this through, but if one of my kids said to me, Dad, I've been thinking about it. I know sometimes I don't like to do what you tell me to do, but you really do have my best interests in mind, and so I'm just letting you know, whatever you want me to do, I'm committed, I will do it. Okay, do you think that I'm going to take care of that child? Do you think that I'm going to go out of my way to make sure that that child is protected and in the right path of life? Of course I will. I'm not going to say, oh, here's my chance. Now I can take advantage of him and trick him and, you know, cause him all kinds of problems. No, of course not. But young people sometimes want to know what God's will is so that they can decide whether or not they want to do it. And that's obviously going to make God's will a little bit vague. You know, God, tell me what you want me to do in the future so I can decide whether or not I feel like doing it. It's not going to become clear in your personal walk. So dedication is important, best you know how. And sometimes we don't feel like really being surrendered, but that's okay. Go ahead and pray anyway and say, God, I want to be surrendered. I don't feel like it, but I want to be, and that's where I'm at, and please help me. And you know what? That's good enough. That's good enough. God will help you. Dedication is important. Number one, D, Proverbs 4:7. Who can read that for me? Okay, Proverbs 4:7 says that there's something that is the principal thing, the main thing. And what is that, ladies? Wisdom. Number one, D, wisdom. You know, as you go through life, you get older, you do gain experience. And hopefully with the experience, you gain wisdom. I will say this, there's some adult people who have not gained wisdom. Some people I know my age in their 40s, that you would expect them to be more mature, to have some experience and wisdom. They've got the experience, they don't have the wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of Bible knowledge. Okay, so there's a connection there between this wisdom and the previous point, number B, knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of Bible knowledge as you face life's decisions. There's no substitute for experience. And as time goes on, as we're seeking God's counsel and God's word, doing our best to dedicate ourselves to Him, we do develop wisdom to know what to do in a given situation. And number one, E, 1 Corinthians 12:18. That's an interesting verse. Let's read that one. All right, I'm still turning. I'm still looking for it. Anyway, the point is simply this. Each one of us who are saved, and we do know the Lord is our Savior, we have a role to play in the body of Christ, the church. We are members. In particular, each one of us has our role and our ministry. And I'm not honestly sure what to plug in here. I literally have three different things written down in my notes for letter E. That's not helpful. Okay, I'll give them all to you. You tell me what you like best. I have assets, I have opportunity, and I have involvement written down. And I kind of like involvement best. Yeah, okay, so let's go. The point is, you need to get active in doing what God wants you to do. The opportunities that God's given you, get active. Get active, get moving. And God will direct your steps as you're seeking to serve Him actively, trying your best to do what God wants you to do, whatever opportunity you may have in the context of home and family or in the context of church and ministry at church. Just do what you can. Just get involved. Get active. And I've heard illustrations like this before. It's hard to steer a parked car. That's a good illustration. If the car's not moving, you can't direct it, can you? It's hard to steer a parked car. Got to get moving. Get active. Start trying to be involved. And a lot of times, as strange as that point may seem, a lot of times that will help for God's will for future steps to become clear as you're getting active in the here and now. All right, so today, you and I know some things about God's will. Can you say, even though you might not know what God's will is tomorrow or 5 years from now, can you say, I am committed to doing what I know to be God's will right now? And again, in many cases, Younger people that I've had an opportunity to talk to, I've found they can't honestly say, I am doing what I know to be God's will today. So they're wondering about what is God's will for tomorrow, for the future. But they can't really say. There's some points they know from the Bible. They know to be God's will, and they're not working on those points right now. So get involved, get active, respond to what you know to be God's will today. Does that make sense? Any questions so far? Now we'll move to the next section, principles for discerning God's will. There's a good bit of overlap between number one and number two. What's the difference between preparation for discerning God's will and principles for discerning God's will? Not a lot. I would say it like this. Number one is who you are as a person. And then number two is how you prepare yourself or what you can do, okay, to seek God's will. And even in saying that, there's a lot of overlap between the two. But here are some principles to consider. Number 2A, you may be facing a decision right now and you're seeking God's will and wondering, what are the steps to finding God's will? What are the principles I can think about? This could be helpful to you. Also, as you consider opportunities you have to counsel with other people, I think these are principles that might be helpful to you to share with other people who are seeking God's will. Number 2A, scriptural standards. A principle for deciding, is this option or is that option God's will? You have to consider scriptural standards. Scriptural standards. The emphasis in this point is not actually standards. Even though that's the word we're writing in the blank, you would think the emphasis would be on standards. Now the emphasis is really on scriptural. Scriptural. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I think it is, says that God has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Whatever decision you're making, you can find some scriptural principle that relates to that decision. Okay? Very often there will not be an explicit statement of scripture. There won't be a verse that says you should really purchase that vehicle and not that one. Purchase the Ford, not the Chevy, something like it's not. There won't be a verse, but there will probably be a scriptural principle that relates to the decision you're making as far as practical everyday life. Consider the Bible principles. And that relates a lot to the previous point, knowledge of the Bible. You have to know what's found in God's Word. You do have to open the Bible and read it and study it, but apply the principles that you find there. What would make God most pleased? Number B, another principle, and you have to take these in combination. It's not that in a big life decision, any one of these single points is going to answer the question for you. But the good news is you can apply all these principles all at the same time. So number B is, spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance. And someone just mentioned a minute ago, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Do you know Jesus promised in John chapter 14 that he would send the Holy Spirit to us? The Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Everything that's true, that's not just helping us to understand the Bible, but everything that's true and right in life, the Holy Spirit will guide us into. You're looking to make a decision. You're saying, God, I want to honor you with this decision. I want this to be a true and right decision. The Holy Spirit will guide you into that. Let me read a little selection here, a quote from George Mueller. Just one second. George Mueller said this, when I'm facing a big life decision, here's my process for making this decision. And I'm going to read through this. It's not found in your notes, but he's going to give six ideas or points about making a decision according to God's will that reflects some of the things we're talking about in the notes, but maybe just jot down an abbreviated form of this. George Mueller, and I quote, said, I seek the will of God in all matters, whether large or small, by following these guidelines. Number one, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. So that has to do with the surrender point we talked about earlier. No will of its own. This is not the idea of Eastern meditation, trying to clear your mind so you're not focused on anything. That's not the idea. We don't want to have any selfish desires when we're seeking God's will. We want to be able to honestly say, whatever God wants is what I want. I don't want to have a selfish interest in this decision. That first step can be difficult sometimes. Number two, having done this, I do not leave the results to feeling or impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. Well, George Mueller, how exactly do you keep yourself from not being led astray by your own feelings and your own impressions? Number three, I seek the will of God through the Spirit in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and, quoting George Mueller, the Spirit and the Word of God must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone, without the Word, I lay myself open to delusions also. And that is very true. I don't have time right now to discuss why that is, but that is true. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. So taking the personal leading of the Holy Spirit in combination with study of God's Word. Number four, next I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and the Spirit. So this is number four, this is not number one, but George Mueller is considering doors of life that God may have opened. Number five, I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me aright or clearly. So he's going to spend time praying about it. And then finally, this is just a summary. Thus, through prayer to God, the study of the Word and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. If my mind is thus at peace and continues after two or three petitions, I proceed accordingly. And that's number six, but what I find helpful in that summary is the last statement, I proceed accordingly. Some of us who are cautious individuals and we like to analyze everything, sometimes we forget to proceed after we've taken time to pray and study God's Word and so forth. Sometimes decisions of life are scary. Can you think of some decisions you've made that were scary? I can think of a couple that actually caused just emotional, you know, anxiety, and I didn't know, was I making the right decision, and I had to go ahead and do it. But we have to proceed. If to the best of our knowledge, we're seeking God's will, we're committed to Him, we want to do what's right, and He's led in a certain direction, we have to step out by faith. We have to go ahead and do it. And if we're trusting in Him, He'll protect us. Okay? He's not going to let us make a disastrous decision if we're committing ourselves to Him. So that's just a quote from George Mueller. Let's finish up a couple more of these. Number 2C is important, mature counsel. Mature counsel. I told you there's no substitute for life experience. That's how we gain wisdom. But here's a beautiful point. Did you know you can borrow wisdom? You can borrow wisdom. So you know some people who are a spiritual help and influence in your life, including our pastors and so forth at church, and you can borrow their wisdom. Yeah, you haven't maybe experienced every decision that a person could experience, but you can talk to others who are godly, spiritually minded, and get their input. Mature counsel, very important. Number D, future ramifications. Sometimes we fail to consider what will be the results of our decision. Two or three steps ahead, future ramifications. Think of the biblical example of Lot, who made a decision to get closer and closer to the city of Sodom. He wasn't thinking about the future ramifications. It seemed okay at the time. But it led to consequences. What will be the consequences for future generations of the decision that I make? And number 2E, divine circumstances. Divine circumstances. This is the idea of open doors and closed doors, which, by the way, is a biblical idea. There are a couple of places in Scripture that refer to God opening a door. Let me just make this statement, though. The idea of open doors and closed doors is all within the other points we've already discussed. It's all within the context of the will of God as revealed in Scripture. We're talking about open doors and closed doors, circumstances of life that are within God's obviously revealed will of Scripture. You can't look and say, there's an open circumstance right there. I could take advantage of that opportunity to cheat on my taxes and save $500. It's an open door. I can do that. And so I should take advantage of that. See, that's an open door. It's a circumstance. Well, that's not right. It's just not right. We're talking about God's will. Within the context of clearly revealed scripture, we could do this or we could do that. You know, we could go soul winning in that neighborhood or we could go soul winning in that neighborhood, you know, and God can direct us which way to go through circumstances sometimes. That's always what is talked about in scripture. God's will could allow for this option or that option. He directs us this way and not that way. Divine circumstances. Okay, what I'm going to do right now, we'll stop there. There's some quotes on the bottom of the page, some good things to consider. Sometimes we face pitfalls when we're trying to discern God's will. We can lead ourselves astray. And you have some blanks to fill in there. I recall a friend of mine when I was college age. I was in college. He did not attend college, but one day his story was he told me he was working on his car. And as he was under the hood of his car, working on his car, he had some kind of a vision or a revelation that God wanted him to marry a certain girl whom we both knew, a friend of ours, you know, at the church. And that was a strong impression that he had, and he was quite sure of that. So it's a funny story. I'm not trying to make fun of him. His heart was sincere. He at least went and talked to the girl's father about it. Okay, he didn't try anything underhand. He went and talked to the girl's father. He told the girl's father about this. I had an impression. I had a vision. God has told me he wants me to marry your daughter. Well, the girl's father wisely said, God hasn't told me that, so let's just wait until God tells me. Which was a good answer. And everybody remained friends, and that was fine. And he did not marry that girl after all. He married another girl, and that's fine. That's good. But sometimes we get our own perspectives involved in the situation, our own emotions, and we can misdirect ourselves. I heard a story, which apparently is true. I didn't know the person, but there was another guy. I don't know, why is this always these guys wanting to marry girls? There was another guy who wanted to marry a certain girl, and he decided to put out a fleece, literally. You remember the story of Gideon? He wanted to make a decision whether he should go fight the enemies, and so he put out a fleece. He put out a fleece, and I guess what he prayed was, he actually got a towel, okay? He got a towel, and he set it outside on the street, and he prayed, God, if you want me to marry this girl that I'm interested in, let the towel be wet in the morning. And so he woke up the next morning, he looked outside, he discovered it had rained, and he was so excited, the towel was going to be wet. So he went downstairs to get his towel, and a car had parked over the towel. Overnight, so the towel was dry, and he didn't know what to think, which does not surprise me. That's not really a helpful way to seek for God's will. I think that would have been a better option. Maybe just phoned his father or phoned a pastor. That would have been more helpful than putting a towel out in the street. Yeah, but he didn't ask for my advice or yours, so yeah. Okay, so we can do that for table time. We can discuss maybe that final point. How do we get led astray sometimes? What are some of the pitfalls? And that will be good. Okay, thanks.